Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike, what day is it, Mike? Guess what today is?
Yeah. It's hump day.
Woo-hoo. Yes, it is.
That one was for you.
That is my favorite.
Yeah.
So I heard.
Oh, you guys are awesome.
That's our new intro.
That's our new intro?
Just for today.
That's not bad.
Good call. Good call.
Normally it's Van Halen, so I'm a little off cue here. But anyway.
Ooh, yeah, right? Van Halen's good too, but that's pretty good.
That was at the behest of our lovely people behind
that's
the right, scenes.
That's a good one. That's a good one. It is hump
they were day. Like, hey, we got this. I was like, let's do it.
You know, it is hump day, except for those who work 24/7. Like for me, like, you know,
yeah.
Wednesday is just another day.
Why do you have to ruin it?
I know.
I'm climbing humps all the time, not just on Wednesday.
Well, anyway, good evening, Northern California.
Good evening.
This is Nigel.
Yeah.
And
I'm James.
Co-pilot James. How you doing?
I'm good. Oh, you know what? The heat is here.
Welcome to Reading. For those of you who are new to Reading, who just moved into Reading, it's going to be like this from now until October.
Yeah. So, pretty much.
All right.
Pretty much.
101 today.
Unless we get one of those freaky
I think there's
going to
be a little
storms.
Bit of a lull next week.
But yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, welcome to Shasta County.
Welcome.
It is that season, election season. And
we're still in it.
We're still, yeah, 2 more weeks, right?
Everybody's
13 more days.
Everybody's
are you like
fighting.
Ready for June 8th?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I am.
By June
it's
8th.
Like summer break, right?
Right?
Yeah.
You get out. For
that's going to be hump day.
That is going to be the true hump day.
Right. Mm. So we have our sheriff with us, Sheriff Johnson. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for
welcome
having me.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Welcome to our crazy show.
Right.
You just have to keep doing check-ins with everybody, see where things are at, how people are feeling, what's going on, give everybody a chance to express how they think things are going, that kind of stuff. So
okay.
Appreciate you
seeing as
back.
How the world is changing like every 3 days now.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Isn't it? Yeah.
So for those who don't know, who are new to Reading, new to Shasta County, right? Because we had a lot of people move out over the last 2 years, and we've had a lot of people move in over the 2 years.
Yes, we have.
So we do have a lot of newbies. welcome to Reading.
Mm-hmm.
And James's store is actually a good gauge for the newbies. We have a lot of new people coming in.
Lots of people coming in. Just, you know, you can just kind of get a feel. If you've been doing it as many years as I have, that somebody seems just a little different, and so you ask them, you know, are you local? And many of them are saying, I am now. And I'm like, oh, really? How long when you? Oh, we moved here, you know, 6 months ago. We moved here 3 months ago. We moved here 2 weeks ago. I get a lot of that. Where are you coming from? A lot of people from Sacramento.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Bay Area. But Sacramento seems to be the prominent, like, transitional mm-hmm. people that I'm running into right now. You know?
I guess that would be the definition.
And strangely enough, people from other parts of the country. That's right. The one that always makes me gobsmacked.
Can't blame them. We got a great area.
That's right, right?
And I'm like, why did you come this way? Right? I mean, for me, it's not the area. It's the California in general, right? Like, when I think, why did you move from there to California, knowing what's going on so much in California? But the Northern California, the true Northern California, really still has a very a desire.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there's only so many people that can move in. From what I understand, still the aftermath of the car fire put a limit to the number
yeah.
of homes that are available.
Can't build them fast enough.
Right.
Yep.
So.
And are they really even being built that fast right now?
Well, I don't know. I guess it's all relative to what area you're in and how much construction you got going on. But
I guess. I mean, I've seen a lot of
them. I mean, they are building them out pretty good.
I just doesn't seem like as much as I would have thought in my head.
Well, in my perspective, it's plenty.
They
don't need to go any faster.
Okay, so you are our current sheriff, and you've been our sheriff for how long?
Since August of 2021, so and about 10 months.
About 10
You're
months.
A baby.
Oh, yeah.
And before that?
Before that, I was 9 years. I was your chief of police in the city of Anderson, so South County. And prior to that, for 5 years, I was chief of police in Amador County, a little prison city called Ione.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And prior to that,
yep.
On the coast in Eureka, that's where I started my law enforcement career, in Eureka PD.
That's right. So, and I was just asking you, you were there for 12 years, so you were in the Eureka PD?
Yeah, Eureka PD, and interestingly enough, I didn't set out to get into city police law enforcement. I ended up in Eureka because of Humboldt State. I went there to finish my college, got accepted there. I was going to be a fish and game warden is what the objective was and the scope was. But
I could see that.
After I graduated Humboldt State and I tested for state fish and game, I was on that list, and I don't know if you guys know this, but the state takes forever and everything they do.
I've heard that.
Yeah, and I was poor, and I needed a job, so I applied for the local PD, and I got hired, and I liked it. And so I took myself off the list and stuck in law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you like it right off the bat?
I did. I actually did. And like I said, you know, I had no really intentions of becoming city police, but it was fun, and it turns out I was pretty good at it. So, yeah, I liked it a lot.
So you climbed the ranks?
Climbed the ranks, yeah. I went through the whole process. I was on patrol, you know, just a patrol officer to start off with. I spent most of my career, early career, working graveyards by choice. I'd trade for that because you get more action, and I was young and, you know, fit and adrenaline and all that. And it turned out to be work out for me and my family. And yeah, I ended up being on the SWAT team. I was a canine handler. I worked crime scene investigations and evidence, and I was a mentor. I did a lot of different stuff early in my career.
Yes, but did you work the Bigfoot detail?
Never was a believer.
No, you never came across one?
I never came across one, no. And I spent a lot of time out in the woods.
Well, we're going to have to change that.
Right. Yeah. Did you, you said canine?
Yeah, I worked two different narcotics detection canines, both Labrador retrievers. And it was funny is when I used to work graveyards, I have this Labrador in the back of my car.
Uh-huh.
And the bad guys didn't know that I had a Labrador that would just lick you to death. They thought I had a man-eater because it's night and it's in the back of my car. So I taught them to bark on command. So when I would pull up to a group of four or five felons and have to deal with them, I'd have that dog start barking and the car would shake and they think I have a man-eater in the back and everybody's attitude would change. It was actually quite hilarious.
And it was a docile dog that could smell narcotics and
correct.
Things like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's so cool. Now, with that again, because I'm a dog lover, is that your dog? I mean, does it live with you? How does that work?
Yeah, it's technically owned. Well, it's not technically. It is owned by the city during the time you have them. But the dog goes home with you, stays with you full time. Then at the end of your career, the dog's had a long enough career, you ended up transferring ownership for $1, and they give you the dog and retire him out, and you get to keep him for the rest of his life.
So what happened to yours?
That's what I wanted to hear.
What's that?
So what happened to yours?
I kept them both until they died. You bet.
Because I'm like that. Even though it's a working relationship, there's got to be a bond there.
Best partner in the world. I mean, you could be having the worst day at home, worst day with your wife, your kids, or whatever. You get in that car, that dog's just happy to see you and happy to hang out with you. It's the best job I've had in law enforcement.
Oh, good. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah.
So, Eureka in general, more action than you thought, or
Eureka? Man, it is. There's a lot that goes on in Eureka. It is a great place to work when you're a young cop. A lot of serious crime that goes on, murders and home invasions and
I wonder if it's the
assaults
water.
And
they think it could just dispose of the body real easy. That's why.
Well,
just roll you into the ocean.
I didn't see him.
But like I said, good place to work. So there's a lot that goes on in Eureka. Yeah. So you get a lot of experience really quick because, you know, we don't have, it's not like a big, huge city where you have, if you're on patrol in a bigger city, you go to a major crime scene. As a patrol officer, you go and tape it off, and then you wait for the investigators to come in, and you're on to the next call.
Mm.
In a place like Eureka and Redding's very much like this as well. You go to a major crime scene, you're it, you're the guy, and so
you got
to
tape it and solve it within 15 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. It's your case.
Okay, thank you very much. We're going to take our first break.
Yep.
I wonder what the music's going to be.
I don't know.
We'll be
after
back.
The first one, I don't know.
You got it.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back.
We're back.
Good evening, Northern California.
Good evening.
Nigel James, and we have our Sheriff Michael Johnson here with us. And,
hello, everybody.
Giving
hello.
Us the rundown of where he's been.
We were sharing our love stories with our dogs.
Yep.
During the break.
Dog stories, yep.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes you can oftentimes judge a person's behavior, attitude.
Are you judging me, Nigel?
On how they treat animals.
Animals,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. There's some trait in there.
Yeah, like I was going to say, I've watched a lot of CSI or whatever that was, and a lot of those people in the early ages used to do bad things to animals before they became the torturous people they were on the show.
Mm-hmm. So you finished at Eureka.
Yep. Finished at Eureka, went to the FBI Academy, graduated from that in Quantico, Virginia.
Really?
Yeah. And then I...
A new bit of information.
Took a police chief job in Ione in Amador County, and I was there for 5 years. And then my wife and I were just ready to get back to the North State and didn't necessarily have our sights set on Redding and Shasta County, but we definitely knew we liked the North State. So the job came open at Anderson, and I applied for that and got that, and I was a police chief there for 9 years.
So how was that?
It was good. It was really good. You know, it was a little tough coming into Anderson. I spent the first 3 months of my career in Anderson in federal court helping prosecute the officer who raped an in custody, and because of law enforcement's very integrous, at least in my mind, and very dear profession. So I wanted to make sure that that happened to protect our image and our integrity. And there's a lot of problems at Anderson when I got there. And so I had to change the culture and change the philosophy of the police department, worked very closely with the city manager and the city council, partnered with the community. We got a sales tax passed, and we changed that whole community. Not me. I'm not saying me changed that community, but I was definitely a leader and a partner in that, and transformed it to what it is now. We're very proud of what it is now. It makes me smile. I hear people been dubbed the safest city in the North State, and I'm proud to be part of that transformation that took place.
Well, so one of the reasons why we're so fond of Shasta County and we want to help market it is because of other cities like Anderson and Shasta Lake and some of the other cities, because they tend to get left out, right?
Right, sure.
And Anderson in particular, they've done a really good job
over
the last number of years.
They're rolling.
they are. And you know, it's a really good example. You're talking about tourism and the county. It's a really good example of how when the community, the administration, public safety, public works, everybody comes together, shared vision, works on that vision together and achieves what the city is looking for. And I really think that, I really truly believe that Shasta County as a county can do the same thing we did in Anderson.
Right. Mm.
And I'm hoping that's what I'm bringing to the sheriff's office and to the county, some of that cohesion and some of that unification and that vision for the county.
So when did you make the switch into the sheriff's department?
When, as I said?
Mm-hmm.
August of 2021. So they had some problems in the sheriff's department. There was a lot of drama and turmoil, and that seat was vacated. I learned that they were going to be appointing a new sheriff. So I I decided to put in. I was approached by several people in the community asking me to maybe step up for that. So I approached each council member one by one and told them I was interested. I submitted my resume, competed for it, and I was appointed.
So obviously you've been in there recently, so not enough, not like 9 years or 12 years.
Right.
Not enough time to, let's say, do what you did in Anderson, i.e. like shift the culture.
Yeah.
So if you win in June 7, is that one of your things you want to do is shift the culture? Is there a specific culture within?
Absolutely. There is. And, you know, on that note, not that it's anywhere near done, but we've had quite a transformation in just the 10 months that I've been there. So I came in, I'm the outside guy, right? I didn't come from that agency. I didn't grow up in that agency. And so walking into that situation, we had, you know, men and women that belong to that agency who didn't know me, didn't trust me, didn't know what to expect. And same as me, I didn't know anything about them. So there was a process of feeling out and each other, learning each other and trusting each other and getting there. So what I'm very proud of at this point is, you know, during this election came up, and I have been unanimously endorsed by the Deputy Sheriff's Association and the Sheriff's Administration Association for Shasta County, also endorsed by the Reading Managers Association and the PORAC, which is the statewide law enforcement. So those are big, big deals to me and big endorsements for me, as well as the District Attorney's Office. It's, you know, having that trust with the people, your allied agency that you work with, gives you the leg up to be able to start moving the organization in the right direction. And we are so young at the sheriff's office, so young, I mean, as the deputies on the street.
Yep.
And the lack of leadership and the culture there needs to come together and move the right direction. And we have been, and it's very, very exciting. So I'm hoping that I get the next 4 years because I can really make it into something, really be the jewel of the North State if we have a little bit of time to work on it.
So my question to you is why or what explanation would you give? Obviously, you're saying that they're young. I obviously know that they're young by you're saying chronologically, but is that just because it just so happened to be that there was a wave of retirement, or there was people had to leave because of the chaos?
Not because of the chaos. It's more of dynamics of the economy and the people aging out and retiring. It's not unique to us,
okay.
James. It's a common thread across a lot of places in law enforcement where a lot of the people have retired out because of attrition and other things.
Yeah.
And then now we have this influx of a lot of young guys, and we're missing that mid-management level experience. So
I was curious if it had also to do with the social climate and people being afraid of being in law enforcement, because it seems to be that, you know, no matter what you do, somehow it comes back on you, right? Like,
I'll tell you, that has made recruitment very difficult. It's a different, when I became an officer, back to Eureka, there would be 100 guys competing for one job.
Right.
Well, now there's 100 agencies competing for one guy. That's the change in it now. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard to find people, one, that can pass a background and get through everything, and two, have the interest and the affinity for the profession, because it's just not like it used to be.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and I could totally see that. I mean, I watch things and see things and think, oh my gosh, you know, like, I don't know. I can't believe how people behave first and foremost, right?
Right.
And I'm like, why are you acting like that? The person that you're acting like that to has a gun, right? And at some point, they're going to have to use it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I don't know.
So on the recruitment note, I constantly am recruiting everywhere I go. I go out to dinner. I ask the waiter, hey, you ever thought of a career in law enforcement? I mean, everywhere we go, me and my wife are constantly trying to recruit into the profession. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, my true philosophy with that is I don't care if I'm recruiting them into Reading Police Department, CHP, anywhere in law enforcement. It's a win for me because of what we need. We need those people, those men and women, to stand up for us and protect our rights and do what they're doing. And since it's getting harder and harder to find, mm-hmm. I'm recruiting for anybody I can. Of course, I always try to bend them and sway them now to my agency. But if they want to do something else in another agency, I certainly spend the time with them still and try to get them in.
So for you going from a city, like a municipality, to a sheriff's department, so a county,
yeah,
was that a switch for you, meaning like, you know, for lack of a better term, who you answer to, meaning in the yeah. sheriff's department is the Constitution, right? You have to be a constitutionalist, hopefully.
Absolutely, I am. it is completely different. I mean, the dynamics of, like you said, you know, I'm elected here in the county, and it's the county politics, the county government, the way they do things is a lot different than municipality. Municipality, as a police chief, you're hired by the city manager and answer to that city manager, and you're not elected. So when you're elected, you answer to the people, and you are very strong as being a constitutionalist and standing up for constitutional rights, liberty, and life and property. That's what we do. So everything's different about it. The things that are similar, though, is, you know, I'm an executive in law enforcement, and law enforcement is law enforcement no matter how you cut it. That there's those basic things that we do to protect the citizens. And what the formula that works, in my opinion, that's worked for me, at least in my career, is being proactive and aggressive law enforcement. So that means instead of sitting around the office and waiting for a call for service to come in, hey, my name is Nigel and my house just got burglarized, and we show up and take the report.
It was James.
James. And instead of that, what we do is when we're patrolling, we see the guy on the bicycle with no light in the middle of a neighborhood in the middle of the night. Instead of driving by him, we stop him and we start asking him questions. And next thing we know, we've got burglary tools or a bag of dope in the pocket or whatever. We take them to jail, take all their stuff, be proactive, and start going after them. There's 57 other counties in this state that they can go to and live pretty easy, and I don't want Shasta County to be one of them.
So you said the J word. Jail.
Jail, yeah.
So,
jail.
I thought it was going to be James.
we said that one, too.
I know.
So I've been here 12 years, and I would say for the last 12 years, even when I wasn't paying attention, I would hear the word jail. Mm-hmm. Like, we need a new jail. We need a new jail.
Yep.
Jail, jail, jail.
Yeah. Tallest building in the city, jail.
So, I, you know, that's come up, like, it seems like every election season. So is it any different this time? Is it going to be different this time, do you think?
Well, I would like to hope so, yeah. I mean, I've started beating this drum as your police chief in Anderson. I was beating on the drum of let's build a new jail facility, but I'm not looking for a traditional jail. I'm looking for something that'll help solve our community problems. So it's a campus, if you will, opposed to just a jail, and I want it linear opposed to vertical, so we don't have to deal with ADA issues and elevators and everything else. And it's going to have the new jail, new campus will have different aspects to it where we will be able to address mental health, we'll be able to address drug addiction, you know, work release, education, homelessness, all of that. But of course, we'll have several more beds to lock up those people who just don't get it and need to be locked up.
And it would seem like those agencies that provide all that stuff would be nice to be in one facility, right? Instead of scattered all over town. Or here's the other thing. It's like I always say we still have our business downtown, but it's like, why do you put that kind of stuff in the heart of your town, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's just my opinion, right? Like, you know, everybody's a human being, but if your people are picking up their checks and getting their tickets resolved and blah, 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 all of these things that are technically what we would consider somewhat of the negative side of humanity, putting it in the heart of your downtown, it's like putting a dagger through your own heart.
Oh, man.
Well, I never understood that, but,
you know, and I'm like, okay.
So let me tell you, you are right on the mark. So I've said from the beginning, if you want to offer all this free stuff to this population who chooses to be homeless, because that's largely what that population is, then why don't you scatter it throughout the county and make them work for it? Why do you centralize it in your main city of your county?
Yeah.
And just put it all there. it's a bad recipe. It's a bad business decision. And,
it is.
And I truly believe
it's
that,
like
too.
It's like feeding a cat on your porch.
With so we're getting, into, we're getting into it. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue. Sheriff Johnson, thank you.
Thank you.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back. Good evening, Northern California. This is Nigel and James.
James, yep.
On KCNR 1460.
AM and 96.5 yes. FM.
And we do have our own radio show website, nigelandjames.com.
And it's great.
It's kind of cool, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we put all the archives on there. So over the next couple of days, you'll be able to hear our interview with Mr. Johnson. He's our sheriff.
The law of the land.
Yeah. And he's
the big cheese.
Running to get elected June 7th.
Yes.
I think we're all looking forward to June 8th, like we said.
Oh, my gosh, are we?
I'm already tired just watching the other places in the country.
I know, right?
Voting.
Yeah. Interesting times. So you showed up here at the Sheriff's Department in 2021.
Correct.
And so you're in Anderson in 2020. So you made that transition during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And so how was that for you?
On what aspect? Like law enforcement aspect?
Well, meaning
what a
like
nightmare.
Well, maybe it's different, right? So being from the police department and now being in the sheriff's department. So there's a big talk now, right? All these bills coming down.
Right.
Down the pike where they're going
to. And we are fighting them tooth and nail through the California State Sheriff's Association, right. Let me tell you.
So, cause it's getting pretty interesting where they want to pass it so that law enforcement has to, implement whatever the state of California comes down with, right? So then, the conversation I've been having, or been hearing, is it makes it an interesting dynamic when you, like we said before, are beholden to the Constitution,
mm-hmm.
and the things that come down are not
exactly
constitutional,
right?
Right. So are you?
Let me tell you something. Yeah. If we clearly know something is not constitutional, I will never enforce it. No, Constitution is the Constitution. It's the supreme law of the land. I take an oath to the United States Constitution and to the California Constitution. So there's a little bit of maybe conflict there, but ultimately the United States Constitution trumps everything.
Mm-hmm.
So if something's not constitutional, it will not be enforced.
So we all have that.
I like this.
Mm-hmm. That's very good. Well, you know, this is that weird season, right? So many of us have that little. There's a little tingle inside, like, uh-huh. thanks, something's coming, right? And if you pay attention to the big picture, right, now all of a sudden we switch from Ukraine to monkeypox. Like, that was like an instant switch, right?
Right.
And I thought for sure it's going to be a little thing and it's not going to keep growing. It keeps growing and growing and growing.
No. We went from COVID to vaccine to all of a sudden, boom, Ukraine, and then boom, all of a sudden, monkeypox. And right? So for example, I think Belgium's the first country now.
Yeah.
A few days ago, announced that if you test positive for monkeypox, you're a mandatory 14-day quarantine. Right.
And in other countries, it's 21 now.
And all of a sudden, all these other countries are having monkeypox.
This is amazing.
Like all of a sudden, like it's almost like it's on cue. I'm not going to say that it's completely on cue, but it's okay.
Well, but so, also if you do any research on monkeypox and its spread and its viral load and all these things, right? it shouldn't spread the same way that it is. I mean, you literally, I mean, what they're talking about now is that you have to be like literally on top of somebody, literally, to get it.
Well, in Shasta County, we are, you know, in Shasta County, we have 3,800 square miles, so that's not going to happen, so we're fine, right?
So we ought to be okay.
I think we'll be okay.
Right.
So what you're saying is if they really try to go after us this time around with crazy restrictions that don't make any sense at all, right?
Right.
What would the correct term be? You'd be on the side of the people, shall we say?
Absolutely. Yes. It's so when the mask mandates and the all the COVID stuff was coming down, I was actually chief of police in Anderson during that time, and they being the state tried to, you know, mandate that we as a police were supposed to go out and enforce this, especially with businesses. And I did not. I gave a direct order to all our officers. We are not going to one single business and telling them how to run their business. We are not enforcing any mask law, you know, and we didn't. So the only person that had really leverage on that, at least in the city of Anderson at the time, was the state, who sent alcohol beverage control, ABC, to those businesses that had liquor licenses and basically strong-armed them into compliance. Otherwise, they'd lose their liquor license. And so that's a perfect example of where maybe now as a sheriff, I would have more power to step in and say, not constitutional. I don't think you're going to do that.
So did that actually happen in Anderson, where some businesses visited?
Two that I know, yep.
And isn't it strange how they enforce things with certain types of businesses, right? It's like talk about unconstitutional in one sense of just what they're doing, but it's very selective on who they're going to bully, you know. It's not an even, you know, slap on the wrist. It's just always something, isn't it?
Personally, didn't understand why one business was deemed vital.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Essential.
Essential.
Mm-hmm.
Essential. And then another business doing something similar,
but
a mom and pop version where they had to close. Right?
Yeah.
Let me explain it to you a little bit. So you said you can't understand that. You have a governor that has no sense at all, so there's your answer.
Well, okay. So I do actually get it because it's follow the money, right?
Right.
Follow the money. So I get it. But it was just kind of sad to see it happening here.
It really was.
Well, okay. It was a perfect example of that kind of, I think, floating in the middle, right? Like most people would look at Enjoy the Store as a gift store, right? I would think for the most part, right? But we actually carry quite a bit of locally produced food, local and regionally produced food. And so we are classified as a class two market. And a class two market actually was considered on the essential list because we carried products like flour and dried beans and things that were
staples
and vitals that would not spoil. You know what I mean? Like, so they were things that you could need and keep in your pantry for long periods of time and then cook to survive if you were quarantined, that kind of stuff. So, but it was very interesting because I very quickly got phone calls from the public health department, and they were always like very nice at the beginning, like, you know, oh, hey, this is so-and-so, probably because I'm just trying. If you have any, you know, COVID mandate policy in the store, they're asking you what your policy was, like if, you know, requiring people to mask, these kind of things. And it was always the lead into, you know, you're not supposed to be open. And I would say, well, why not? And they would say, well, because you're not essential. And I'd say, but I'm a class two market. If you look at the class two market listing, it says that we are essential. And then they would say, oh, we're sorry, we didn't realize that's what you were under. And then I would say, isn't there some type of a database that you guys are looking at? Or are you just randomly calling people because you want to?
Yeah, which leads you to believe that you could have not had any of that stuff and just told them that. And they would have been like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that happened three times.
Yeah,
I got a call three times,
Wow.
The same thing. And then I got the crazy.
So the tip is, if you get the phone call this time, you just say you're class two.
Yep.
Okay, good.
There we go. And I wasn't offended. I mean, I knew people were doing their job.
The knowledge that comes through this show.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, people have to do their things and their jobs and stuff. But you would think that, like, legitimately, I don't know, maybe because this is our first pandemic in this realm, they just didn't have a database. But I'm just assuming they know everything about everybody. So yep. If you just simply looked at I was a class 2 market, you'd know.
So is this the first time that you're actually running for an office?
It's the first time in my career I've had to run for an office, yes.
So do you consider yourself a politician now?
Gosh, no. Absolutely not. I consider my guy a poor sheriff that has to run for a position.
Yeah.
I can't, you know, on a serious note, I can't wait to get back to work. That's all I want is this to be done so I can get back to work. Cause trying to run an agency, day to day business and serve the public like I'm supposed to be doing and run a campaign, it's exhausting. Yeah.
So was there a slight learning curve?
Oh, huge.
Jumping into the deep end to becoming a politician, right?
Yeah, huge learning curve. Yeah. I'm still learning. I would have done a ton of things differently if I was running again, yeah. But I'm just running this time, and this is the now, and this is what I'm dealing with. So,
so what would be some of the lessons that you have learned about, you know, having to run an election? Because now, whether you like it or not, right, you get labeled a politician or you get labeled a candidate, so. Right out of the gate, without you having any say-so, you're automatically lumped into one group or the other. You got labels attached to you.
And I don't think there's any avoiding that. People are going to label you and come up with their own interpretations and whatever. I think the first thing I would do if I run another election is get myself a muzzle and put it on myself because I'm not. I haven't been the greatest about...
Have you had a couple of moments?
Speaking of politically correct all the time, right? That's hard. I'm just an honest guy, and I sometimes speak my mind, and it doesn't always fare well for me, I guess.
That's hard.
What?
Just to not...
Well, you don't want me to repeat it, do you?
No, I would say...
No, that's hard because, like, you know what? A lot of times it's a visceral reaction. You speak from the heart. People have done something to label you, whatever, and it's not... genuine or correct, right? And you want to be able to say something back that negates what's being said that's not fair or, you know, in any, whatever the circumstance may be, right? And, you know, and I, for me too, I mean, I have to constantly think about what I'm going to say because it could get me in trouble, but I also always say to myself, it's my right to say it.
Well, and it's true.
Even
but,
if it gets me.
But when
not,
you're running for an office,
no,
I know. And, you know.
But again, that's, yeah, part of the game.
It's
right.
It's very hard to navigate that, and especially when people want to spread misinformation or mm-hmm. falsehoods about you and
not facts,
but they portray them as facts. But the part with me is, I'm not that guy. I'm not going to get into a back and forth. I'm not going to spend my time trying to rebut. Those non-truths. I'm just who I am. I'm running on my experience, my education, my history, and it's going to be what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say this particular election is probably one of the most important ones in a long, long time. And so, and I think certain offices are going to be very important, especially the sheriff's department.
I would agree.
Having a little tingle of what's coming. So I think the sheriff's department is a vital, and I think it's very important that people in our community know exactly who you are. So I wouldn't worry I wouldn't worry about the PC thing. We just want to know who you are, right?
Well, to make and break. I mean, like I said, I was laughing, but the law of the land, like you said, right?
Yep.
You're gonna follow the Constitution. If somebody comes and gets in a position like that of power where the Constitution doesn't mean anything to them, there goes the protection of the people.
You want to know who I am? Here's who I am. So I've been in law enforcement for 26 years. I am 100% integrous in that profession and hold true to serving the people. Who I am right now doesn't change. I am the sheriff. That is a position I hold. A position I hold in an organization, and I have a job to do as that position, which is serve the people. But who I really am is Mike Johnson, the husband of 29 years and the father to two, and a avid hunter, avid fisherman, and a dog trainer. That's who I am. That's really who I am. But what I do, I take very seriously. I take my oath of office extremely seriously, and my service to the people that I am elected to serve with.
So you've done something right in the marriage department.
Yeah. Right? I know.
I mean,
not bad, huh?
Not bad,
huh?
It's a long time.
Yeah,
awesome. Well, let's get some...
Next week, we're going to talk to your wife.
Yeah.
So let's get into that a little more when we come back. Thank you.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back. 29 years to a Portuguese. Dude, you got some cojones.
Portuguese, born on the islands.
Oh, really?
St. George, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So she actually speaks Portuguese.
Yeah, right? When she's mad, you know it.
She's Portuguese.
You don't know what she's saying, you just know that she's mad.
I just know that she's mad, yeah, exactly. Yeah, 29 years. I'm very proud of that. She's a good woman. Stood by me through all this mess and all the career and the trials and tribulations of being law enforcement. So, yeah, I'm pretty lucky.
Okay. So you're in Shasta County, and so you actually, you're one of those who does get out and enjoy the outdoors.
I do. Yeah, I do. Well, not since I became sheriff, but yeah, I do. I like to hunt. I like to fish. I like to get outdoors. Do it a lot.
Any favorite spots you like to go?
Well, there's a bunch. I love the Sacramento River. I love salmon fishing on the Sacramento River. I love, geese and duck hunting, in the Fall River area. It's pretty much all over. I deer hunt and.
So when you're fishing in the Sacramento River, I love to fish, but I'm not a fisherman, right? So I don't know any of the rules, so to speak. So when you see people standing in the river, when you're driving over 44 Bridge or whatever, they're fishing for like trout or something, right?
Yeah, those are fly fishermen. This stretch in through here, the city is really big. It's world class waters for trout fishing, fishermen. Right. So I'm primarily a bait fisherman, so I go fish the deep holes during the salmon runs. Yeah.
You're in a boat, okay.
Yep. Fun stuff.
It is.
When people come, do people from out of the area come to visit you?
Yes.
And when they do you send them off to like go check out certain places like Lassen or Burney Falls or anything? Or do you give them a menu?
Yeah, we do. We take them to a bunch of different places. We have family that comes up a lot and visits us, or a big family unit. So whenever, in fact, my son from San Diego just left to go back home this morning. So he was here with his wife and his my new grandbaby, which was fun.
Aww.
Yeah, so, first one.
First?
Yeah.
Oh, Grandpa.
Yeah, Grandpa. Grandpa Johnson. Thanks for that, James. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Grandpa Johnson, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So you didn't add that to the list of accomplishments.
I didn't. Yeah. No.
Well, that's a new one. Check.
Yeah. So for all the newbies who are here in town, It took me a little while to get used to Reading because I was in LA for so long that, you know, it took 45 minutes to get to the freeway. And all of a sudden I'm in a place where it takes 12 minutes.
Right.
To get to the other side of town.
Uh-huh. Isn't it great?
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, the grand opening of Trader Joe's is on the front page of the newspaper. I'm like, okay, this is a little different. Right. So for those who, the newbies here, What are some of your favorite places to go eat?
To go eat? Yeah. Oh, my number one favorite place is Norm's in Palo Cedro.
Okay.
I love Norm's. Norm's is a great place.
I have not been yet.
You haven't?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Heard lots of great things. Heard the trials and tribulations because they were so popular so fast.
Yeah.
It was hard for them to keep up.
It was. And they went through a little growing pains with that when they first opened, but they've got it down now, and it's a really good restaurant. I like it.
You know,
Carlene's. I like Carlene's.
Keep up.
We'll have to talk to Jared and Carl and see if we can do a remote from there.
Yeah, Carlene's is great.
Yeah, Carlene's is great. I live in Palo Cedro, so I also like PCI there. You know, the cook your own steak thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I just like that atmosphere. That's a lot of fun.
I like that place too.
Yeah.
Let's check those out.
Well, normies I haven't, but.
Wilda's. I love Wilda's for lunch.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Puta bowls. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. Haven't had that in a while.
Right.
Anything in Anderson?
Anything in Anderson? Yeah, well, it used to be Mary's, it's now Charlou's. I love Charlou's.
Now, did they change the name in Anderson too to Charlou's?
Yes. Yeah.
What was that all about?
They own that franchise, the Mary's Pizza franchise, uh-huh, for a while, and I think they ended up buying it out and changing the name.
Okay.
Charlou is the guy that owns it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
So, do you consider yourself a native now of Shasta County, of the furniture?
But I don't think Shasta County considers me a native yet.
Well, there's some advantages to being outside the fishbowl, right, and coming in just kind of like you said before, right?
Yeah, as far as my profession goes, for sure, because I bring a lot of different ideas and experience. So this is about the fourth county I've lived in California, absolutely the best, but the fourth county, so I have a different perspective, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Well, coming from outside the fishbowl, coming from outside, you're able to see the blind spots that some mm-hmm. people can't see, right? Like the whole, what are you talking about, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I think we've noticed that for Shasta County, too. When I moved to Shasta County, I'm like, can't you see how amazing this place is? Why are you down on your own county? Like, right. This place is amazing.
But that's pretty typical. People that, you know, you grow up in an area, you always want to get out, right? Right. Oh, I'm leaving this place. And
you go out
and spread your wings, and then you realize, hey, I came from
I was like,
hey, from a pretty good place.
I was like, say, when people complain about this place, I said, well, you know, there's four people that complain about living in Saint-Tropez, too. But, you know, right. There's always somebody who complains.
Mm-hmm.
So how have you seen over the last 10 years that you've been here? How have you seen Shasta County change?
Well, I've seen a drastic change in the influx of a criminal transient population, if you will. So I'm not talking about the transients on the street. I'm talking about people mm-hmm. that are coming up I-5 and victimizing our community. It's definitely been more profound and a bigger impact on this region. So, you know, there's some of that comes just because of drugs, or some of that becomes population based that are moving human trafficking and stuff up and down the corridor.
Is a dirty.
It is.
Well,
it
we're
is.
On I-5 and
corridor.
And you know, for a while there, I was working with, you know, homeless rock stars and getting to the whole homeless situation. And I don't think people here realize how much human trafficking actually goes on here.
Yeah, it's significant. It's significant everywhere. And, you know, we have one of our problems with our county is the illegal marijuana grows. And I'm talking about the big cartel, organized crime marijuana grows and all through this county. And those are the same people that are responsible for a lot of the human trafficking, a lot of the heroin, a lot of the fentanyl and stuff that's being brought up and down here in our county. So we have launched a kind of a war on that, and we've been going full force on marijuana eradication, and we'll continue that as time goes on here.
So is it like, I know this sounds weird, is it tough taking on the human trafficking?
It is. It's tough because it involves a very complex investigation to get into. I mean, just rescuing a victim is one thing, but if you're actually trying to break the chain and get inside the organization that's trafficking these people, it's a very complex investigation. It takes time, money, resources to get into. So yeah, it is.
And I don't, to be really honest with you, I don't even understand the concept. I mean, I hear the word all the time, and I guess I have a perception of what that means.
So in Anderson, we did a great case.
I'm like, what the hell is it?
It started with the Chinese massage parlors, mm-hmm. and we had one in Anderson, and that's where it started. And so we got into that and figured out it was linked to a few in Redding, which was linked to some in Red Bluff, which ended up being linked to some in Arizona, which ended up being linked to some in Miami, which were coming out of the country. It was over a year and a half investigation to get us there, and it was a great case and made some great arrests.
So then what does that actually mean? The people that are working in these facilities are are working against their will, or they're
brought over, usually from out of the country on a contract or a promise that either they're kidnapped and taken into like slave labor, yeah. and their families are threatened, or they are brought under maybe the promise that if you work for X amount of years, we'll help get your family over here, you'll get asylum, and you'll be, a United States citizen, which is all a bunch of BS.
And this person's just like an indentured.
See, the sad part is, yep. James, that humans are more valuable than drugs, right?
Mm, absolutely.
Price per pound, literally, mm. price per pound.
I can't wrap my head around any of that.
That's crazy. It's really crazy how it works like that.
It's because, and I would say the vast majority of people, don't have the wherewithal to even think about that, and let alone that it happens right here, right? But when we get deep into it, you realize it does, and it's like it freaks people out. Like, really?
Yeah. No, it totally freaks me out because I'm like,
so
I
think
can't
about
believe
the
that
case,
happened.
The case I just told you about, that's Anderson, one of our small cities in our county where, they're able to hide and start doing some of that, set up shop, and you wouldn't think about it, like you said. Oh, yeah, it didn't happen here. That's somewhere else. That's the big cities. Well, no, in fact, it's happening here. It's
probably
everywhere.
More prevalent in the smaller cities just because it's not known, right? Or it's not part of
the exact number, how many come through here, but because we're on I-5 and it's exactly the halfway point between LA and Seattle, we're like the perfect little.
Perfect little stopping
point. Perfect little stopping point. You get a couple of
human
houses
trafficking
and warehouses.
Leg stretch. How horrible.
So you have actually come across that.
Yes, we have. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
So what's next for you?
How can people reach me? So people can reach me on, there's the campaign website, which is Johnson for Sheriff 2022, and that's a Facebook site. Or if you go to the Shasta County Sheriff's Facebook or website, my email address and my contact information is on there. And, I tell people all the time, you reach out and you want to talk to me or bring something up. I'm very good at responding to people. Not always the same day. Sometimes not always the same week. But
you responded to us very quickly.
Yeah, but I eventually get back to you. And so I do very much appreciate people's perspectives, their ideas, their creativity, their input on a variety of things. I'm not afraid to take constructive criticism. I'm not afraid to try new things and fail because that's how you end up getting to solutions. So anybody wants to reach out, please feel free to, and I will get back to you.
What do you want people to do for you? If you could tell people, like reaching out's one thing. That's, me wanting.
You know what I want
you.
People
what
to
would
do?
You would want
I want people to pay attention and get involved in their community. Mm. That's what I want. Because it can't be done. Let's go back to Anderson, since we were talking about Anderson and the success there. A huge part of that success was getting the neighborhoods involved, getting the local businesses involved, and having a connection with them, and having them actually assigned a liaison officer who would be their connection and be part of the solution rather than just somebody complaining and part of the problem.
Yeah. Well, that's a good
one. It really does make a difference.
I'm sure it does.
Well, thank you very much for coming on. Are you running this campaign by yourself? Or do you have
absolutely not. Yeah. If I was doing that, I probably wouldn't even be here. I have a team of people that I selected that are helping me in there. I'm very grateful for them. And they're putting in a lot of hard work. I'm putting in a lot of hard work, too. I'm going doing things like this. I'm going knocking on doors. I'm doing everything.
Kissing babies.
Kissing babies, yeah, the whole nine.
Well, you could bring some dogs along and...
Yeah. Dogs are a big, sucker.
It's like a baby and a dog. Right?
I mean, my dog Brandy, my yellow lab, I've made her official part of my campaign committee for sure.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks again. Thanks for the camel. appreciate that.
One minute left.
All right. let's go out with that.
With the camel.
Let's go out with Hump
let's
Day.
Let's go out with Hump Day.
Yeah, right. Now he's got to cue it back up.
He's
again.
Really good.
Put him on the spot here.
We have a new newbie in the studio today.
But he's doing
training.
Great.
He's doing awesome.
Great.
Yeah, yeah.
Jared didn't even have to correct him.
Haven't seen Jared jump up and run to the computer. Oh, here he goes.
There's no slapping?
No.
Okay, so we spend the last minute talking? Is that how we're doing there?
Thank you again for coming.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Again, guys, I really appreciate you having me on. Thanks for the conversation.
Yeah.
And, Hopefully we'll work together more on the tourism part of this.
Yeah.
Well, we look forward to working with you on that.
Yeah, for sure.
Uh-oh.
Here we go.
Guess what day it is.
See you next week.
Guess what day it is. Huh? Anybody? Julie. Hey, guess what day it is. Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is.
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
KCNR.